You both for leading us this morning from that delicious cake. Happy birthday again. And happy birthday again to all of you February babies out there. I'm a March baby, so my turn's coming. Today our message was supposed to be from Romans. And as Brother Dave explained this morning already, he is going to be speaking on that portion that he would have done today, next week. And rather than kind of switching things around, I decided maybe I would take a different passage and look at it together with you this morning. And we'll save the last part of Romans 11 for the next time, Lord willing, that I speak. It's easier to go forward and backwards when it comes to plowing through the scripture. But I'm going to do just the opposite today. I am going to plow backwards through Philippians chapter 3. So if you will turn there while I gab, Philippians chapter 3, we'll read some verses from this chapter. I suppose I could have had a Valentine's message all about love and everything else. Seemed to me that Valentine's was a pagan holiday, but no, I thank you, Andrew, it is, or Matthew, it is a so-called Christian holiday. So consider yourself loved. I hope that all you gentlemen out there showed your affection in some tangible way to your beloved this morning or today, or you will do it, or you will write her a promissory note that you will do it. But anyway, this message probably would be more suitable for New Year's. It's not. It's not a reheat or a rehash of a New Year's Day message, but it would be very suitable. I'm going to read, first of all, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. There's a safety message there. It's safe to write and repeat myself, says Paul to the Philippians. Then let's look down at verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, not as though that I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord bless this word. How many of you have made resolutions for this new year? Can I see a show of hands? One person, oh, two people, thank you. I saw that. So there are three of us in this hall who made New Year's resolutions this year. You want to know what mine was? I made a resolution not to make resolutions every day. Because I just know I would break them. I'm not going to ask you, Marsha, or you guys, whether you kept your resolutions or not. But it's just too hard to keep them. But I think there are some good resolutions in here to consider this morning. Some things that you, if you're a believer this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking with him, here's some good solid things for you to do. We've been studying as you know, in the book of Romans, where Paul deals a lot with all the nuts and bolts of how of being a Christian, how we can become one, how we can live as one. And he talks an awful lot about the law, and by keeping it, you can't be saved. The law just simply shows us, you know, how far short of God's glory we've come, and the standards are just impossibly high. But here, and Paul refers to the law a little bit here in this chapter, and we'll come to that. But I think the thing that really, really spoke to me about this passage were was a word that is used in verses 12 and 13, and those are what I want to focus on this morning. But these verses contain the secret of the goal of Paul's spiritual life. He's straining. He's striving. He's moving toward the goal, verse 14. He wants to get a hold of something in verse 13 and 12. And he wants to live his whole life in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 11. How many of you knew that? I trust all of you do. We're to encourage one another to love and to good works, to provoke each other. And that's, again, what I want to do today. Now, for a long time, the phrase that you see in verse 12 and in 13, this one word here, kind of threw me a curveball when I read it in the King James. You know, you throw a curveball at somebody, they think you're gonna hit them with it, and they don't swing right, and they miss. That's baseball lingo. That's about as much as I know. I cannot throw, but. This whole business about being apprehended, that really, you know, I struggled to get my mind around that word. Because, and that's what sort of led me to this passage a few weeks ago to really look at it in more detail. Paul says all this about, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and so on. Apprehending. I was having trouble apprehending what that word meant. Does it make sense? We don't usually talk that way, or do we? A couple of weeks ago, the police in Grand Rapids, the police department, had some reason to be happy for a change. There were three young persons that got off of a bus somewhere down in the southeast side, I think. And three more young persons, miscreants to the lot, got off after them and drew a gun on them and wanted to rob them and wound up shooting one of the boys dead. And you probably heard about that. And it wasn't very long, though, until these guys were caught. They had been videotaped on the bus that they had gotten off of, and there was enough evidence around to say, yeah, these three guys were the shooters, you know, were the robbers and so on, and they rounded them up in short order. They were apprehended, and the police, of course, were happy. And that's usually the idea that we think of when we use the word apprehend. Well, what's Paul talking? He's not talking exactly about being apprehended by the police or anything. But what is he saying here? Apprehend also means to understand something, to say, I get it. My apprehension of this particular fact. That's what apprehend means. So Paul is saying here, not that I had already attained. And he's talking about verse 11 there, the resurrection of the dead. And he says, we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Well, it's still a little bit of a mind stretcher, isn't it? What's the word mean in Greek? Well, the word in Greek is katalambano, and it means to take possession of something, to lay hold on it, to appropriate, a prize. Okay, when the police apprehend a criminal, they generally will lay hands on them. They will frisk them. They will put their hands in handcuffs so they would be hindered in running away, and they lead them off. They have catalambanoed them, or however the proper Greek use of the word is. They get it. They've been gotten. They've been taken possession of. And Paul is saying, I count not myself to have been and taken possession of this. Not that I have already attained, but that I follow after, if that also that I may take hold of. And I believe that's the way it is translated in like the New King James and other versions. That's what it really simply means. I want to get hold of something, says Paul. That he goes on to say in verse 12, I want to get a hold of that, whatever this is. I want to get a hold of the thing that I also have been gotten a hold of by Christ Jesus. And there's a beautiful thought there, isn't there? I've gotten a hold of something, of someone. I've gotten a hold of life. I've gotten a hold of a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, he's the one who got a hold of me. And that's what we've been thinking about in Romans, haven't we? Christ's grace poured out on us. For by grace are you saved. And that's, again, the Lord Jesus Christ apprehending, getting a hold of us. And so now that he's been gotten a hold of by Christ, he says in verse 13, I count not myself to have gotten a hold of it yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the goal. I follow after. And there's a strong, strong word there, a strong phraseology that implies, you know, that I'm working now. I'm going for the goal. I've already been saved, but I'm pressing on toward the goal. Now, that goal that we read about is fivefold. First of all, Paul says, number one, that I may gain Christ. Secondly, he says, that I may be found in him. Thirdly, that I may know him. All of these things are right here. That's my goal, says Paul, that I may know the power of his resurrection and that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. All of those things are in these verses that we have just read this morning. But Paul said that the thing that I wanted, if by any means, in verse 11, that I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul is saying another thing that's a little tricky to understand here, the way that it is phrased. It sounds like he's saying, I'm not sure if I'm going to actually be resurrected or not. I'm going to do everything I can so that I'm sure that I get resurrected. Is that what the scripture says? Not quite. Not really. Bill McDonald put it this way. Paul was talking about physical resurrection, but he was not expressing any doubt about his participation in it. Rather, he was saying that he was not concerned about the sufferings that might lie before him en route to the resurrection. He was willing to undergo severe trials and persecutions if that was what lay between the present time and the resurrection. The expression, quote, if by any means, unquote, does not necessarily express doubt. It's a strong desire or expectation that doesn't count the cost. Thank you, Bill. I'm sure of it, but I'm not worried about the things that go with this. Our sister Grace Tuninga, who went home to be with the Lord, as I said last night, really lived this to me in a way. It's something every time you see the home call of someone that you know and love, going from a person who was active, who was had their routines and did their thing, and all of a sudden they have a severe health event. In her case, it was her heart, and she went down very, very quickly. And I'm thankful that she didn't linger a long time in her condition. But this is what God had for her. And now you know what lies ahead? Well, first of all, right now, her spirit is perfect. She's happy. She doesn't have any more of those physical problems. She doesn't have any more of that anxiety that she had had and some of those other things that were frankly just a little hard for some of us to deal with sometimes. And I say that respectfully, that dear lady, because that happens to all of us. She's perfect now. She's with her Lord Jesus. And someday, probably very soon, she and all of us who are believers are going to be given a new resurrection body, and we're going to be all perfect. And that's a wonderful thing to think about too. And that's what Paul's pressing on to. He's pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And so he's talking here again, when we see that word apprehending, he's talking about the things that getting a hold of in verse 12, the things that Christ has already gotten for us. Somebody used the illustration once of a room that I or you could be taken into. What's in here? Oh, there's a whole bunch of boxes around here, and they're gift wrapped. They're beautiful. They're wrapped up with ribbons, and they're in those shopping bags, you know, with flowers on them, and they're gorgeous to behold, but they're unwrapped. I mean, they're wrapped. They're unwrapped. Does that make sense? They weren't unwrapped. When I say to whoever lets me in there, what's the purpose here? Well, he says, well, you had the opportunity to unwrap these things and use them. These are gifts for you, but you didn't. And those gifts would represent the things that Christ has gotten for us and done for us. And many times we don't even bother looking for them, much less unwrap them and much less use them. Paul doesn't want us to be, the Lord Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. Those things are there for us all the time. It's our responsibility is to what? To open them and to lay hold of them. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And that chapter in Colossians chapter 3, if we had time to turn there, gives us a whole list of these things. And they're things that we can take and we can put on and put off. Maybe we should look there just a moment. Philippians, Colossians, just to refresh ourselves with where these are. Philippians chapter 3. I read you the first verse, told what to seek. Verse 2, set your affection on the things and so on, the things above, not on things of the earth. He gives us a whole list in verse 8. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so on. All those things, put them off. I've got a whole closet full of former gifts in my closet there. They're in the form of neckties and shirts. I used to work at a job where I had to wear a necktie every day. That was way back in the 80s and the early 90s. And I don't wear them anymore, and I have to now. But I've got tons of, I can't let go of them. They have meaning to me. There's one in there that I wore the day I was married. There's one in there that I wore when I graduated from high school in 1970. That's a long time ago. And there it is, waiting to drop off the little hook on the closet floor. And every time I brush in there, I got a little closet. Now, Joanne's closet is always in flux because she's always going through her stuff. And she's putting off stuff, and she's getting rid of as much as she replaces. She's doing it right. But anyway, laying hold. Oh yes. Let's read those things that we're to put on. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, of bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Boy, these are good things to put on. These are good things to lay hold of. Now back over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says that I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The word for forgetting in here, and I'm not going to impress you with my Greek knowledge here, but it sort of sounds a little bit like what they say in New York, forget about it. It's kind of the same, spoken the same way. It's putting off, getting rid of certain things. I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And Paul does say here in this passage, in this chapter and other places, some of the things that he needed to forget about, to lay aside, so that he could press on toward the mark. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored much more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul's attitude here toward himself is very noteworthy. He's trying, he says, to tell them in a humble way, I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church. Now, does that sound like a phony, humble, unhumble thing to say? And you consider Paul's story. I think of every day of mistakes sometimes that I've made. I don't want to dwell on them. In fact, that's one of the things that I want to encourage us in here, is to not dwell on them. Because if you do, you know, it'll really get you down. I think of really stupid things that I did in my work. And, as a teacher, as a parent, just as a Christian, made a lot of mistakes in my life. And I know Paul could look back and see the faces of those that he was persecuting, knowing as a born-again man, he had really caused suffering to these precious brothers and sisters in Christ. He would remember the hatred that he felt toward them. He was God's avenging angel. He was Gideon. He was, you know, one of the judges. He was Elijah with his sword, killing the prophets of Baal. And that must have been a pretty monstrous thing to look back and think about. But we're supposed to forget past sins. Don't dwell on them. Forget them. Why? He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. It's God. He's the one I'm focused on. He's taken me and using me. Then in coming back to Philippians chapter 3, another thing that we should forget about is our own righteousness, our past deeds of righteousness. Verse 7, what things were gain to me? He's just given a whole list of things in verses 4 to 6 that were his because of who he was born, or what he was born into. I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised. This was done for me. I couldn't do it myself. Of the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Oh, I couldn't have chosen to be born a Jew, but yes, there I was. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. It's touching the law, a Pharisee. I was no dog of a Gentile. Concerning zeal, oh, look what I did. I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I kept the law. But what things were gained to me, he says, I counted loss. What I used to think was important, I dumped. I counted it, the loss of all, suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse. To use a nice word, garbage, that I may win Christ. And he's confident, he's saying. I'm not guessing. I'm not just sort of hoping blindly, maybe I'll make it in. Remember that there's a wing place over there on Ann and and Monroe. We've been going by for a long time because it's right in line with coming over here. It used to be called the Wing Heaven, and the sign underneath said, only the good ones make it in. Paul was one of the good ones that thought he was going to make it in. How did he make it in? By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says all that other stuff is just like refuse. So I'm going to forget my past religiousness, my past zeal, and I am going to move on. He says also, by the way, be very wary of these false teachers who want to drag you back into that kind of stuff. And we don't have time to think about it, but that certainly has reared its ugly head even today, wherever people put conditions on salvation, who imply that you, if you love the Lord, you'll do this and that, and keep the Sabbath and whatever else, you know. Watch over them. Paul is very, very unflattering, the way he describes people like that in the first couple verses of chapter 3. But I want to think of another thing that Paul spoke about forgetting. And we read about this incident back in Acts chapter 23. That's blessed me to think about Paul this way. Acts 23 and verse 11. Paul is about to be taken down to Caesarea. He'd just been through this whole big, well, practically a riot in Jerusalem. The mob was trying to tear him apart. Soldiers rode in and saved him and brought him before the authorities there, and then they have a little hearing before the high priest and others, the council in Jerusalem there, and so on. And verse 11 says, in the night following all of this, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Now, why would Paul not have been of good cheer? You know, he'd just been saved from an unruly mob. Well, if you remember, one of the things that took place in that chamber before the council, you read about it, the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by Paul to smite him on the mouth. And then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? And then Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And then he changes the subject. What we saw in those verses was a failure on Paul's part. It was a goof, a faux pas, perhaps. Big public opportunity that he has to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and does it. But he reacts to being hit on the mouth in a very, very unchristlike way. Did the Lord Jesus turn around and snarl at the chief priests and the other people who struck him on the face? No. Paul reacted there. And then. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to really give somebody what for. They've been bugging you for a long time. They've said something cruel. And finally you have a chance to really say how rotten they are. And it feels good maybe for a little bit. But if you're a believer, you know that's not a good thing. Maybe that's never happened to you. Maybe you've never gotten angry with somebody else, even in your heart, and wish you could have said something that would have put them in their place. And then realized, hey, you know, boy, that would really help my testimony, wouldn't it? If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That really made me look a lot like him, didn't it? But what comes along in verse 11? The following night. I wonder if Paul slept very good that night. Probably not. But it says that somebody stood by him. And it wasn't just any old somebody, it was the Lord. And the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, cheer up. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul, you didn't blow it. I'm giving you greater opportunities. He didn't tell them directly, forget about it, Paul. Forget what you did. Forget your past sin and your blunder and your pride and the harsh words that you spoke verbally. It's the same as if you whacked that guy back. Paul, forget about that. This is what I'm doing. And I'm giving you the opportunity to share in what I'm doing by being a witness for me in Rome. That's, again, this is what is so wonderful about this knowledge. It's something that we ourselves can't do. This putting off, this cleaning out the closet, this forgetting about, it's not humanly possible. It kind of goes against my nature to clean out my closet. This is something I just would rather put off and not worry about until the curtain or the rod breaks and all the old clothes fall on the ground or I'm looking for something that I really need buried back underneath them in the closet. This is not something that I naturally do, but I have the Lord who comes alongside. And so when I remember the things that have to do with Him, the things that He has done, that helps me. That helps me forget about that. So focus our minds on that, certainly. One other little thing that Paul did, and maybe we'll have to just speak very, very briefly about this. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't need to turn there, but you remember there was a portion of that chapter where he talks about it's not profitable for me to boast, but I want to tell you about an experience that happened 14 years ago. He writes to the Corinthians. He says, I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or out of the body, I don't know. God knows such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I should might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I'll speak the truth, but I refrain. I hold back talking about this, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Paul had this incredible experience of being translated up into glory, hearing unspeakable things, something that nobody else around him had. Now, some people, having that experience or thinking they had, would sit down and write a book immediately and go on speaking tours and, I mean, you know, capitalize on this great spiritual experience. One thing that happened to me years and years and years ago. Go on and on and on about it. And Paul says, no, he kind of kept that secret for a long time. I'm sure if anybody asked him about it, he might have said something, but his whole thing was not to boast about the things that had happened to him, but to use them whenever it was profitable for others. Now, the Lord again has given us, you and me as a believer, gifts like that. And they are to be opened and used at the right time. Let's remember those things that the Lord has done for us and use it when it serves to glorify Him. Remember the things that have to do with the Lord, the things that He has done. Forget about the stuff that happens to me that I have done. Press on toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning there's so much more we could say. But we want you to be the one saying it. We want to hear from you. We follow. We serve. We have been ransomed by a God who does speak to us. We have that which the world does not have. The privilege of day by day communion and communication with you. We hear you when we are listening, when we are abiding in the vine. Oh Lord, help us to be fruitful this way. Help us to be encouraged to do this. We ask in Jesus' name.